Welcome to Shenanigans. Hey, it's Aisha.
Hey, y'all, it's Jenny.
Yo, baby, what's up? It's Tyra.
And we are a dose of melanin empowerment that is a reminder of how bomb you are and how dope you can be. Featuring edutainment about beauty, life, and health, mixed with a true depiction of how strong she can be. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome back to Shenanigans.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Jenny, don't be coming on here with this sultry voice.
I'm not.
I heard it. So we're super excited to be here with y'all today, to be back, or, you know, at least fake back, because our new season has not started. But we wanted to create this special episode for you all this month, because if you didn't know, September is National Recovery Month and Recovery Awareness Month. And so we wanted to bring this to you to chat about substance use disorder, to chat about our experiences, especially within the Black community, and to understand more about recovery and what's really gained out of having recovery in your life. So this episode today is sponsored by Know the Facts Indiana. If you want to learn more about Know the Facts, especially about recovery, and even hear stories from people in recovery who live in Indiana, you can visit knowthefactsindiana.org. Okay, so let's hop right in, ladies. So we chatted a little bit about this, but in our communities, especially like Black communities, we do not really talk about substance use disorder. We don't even talk about it as substance use disorder. We talk about it as addiction. But why do y'all think that it's not something we openly talk about, or how, if it is something that's been openly talked about, like within y'all's families or your friend groups, how is it usually?
I think one reason why it's probably not openly talked about in the way that you would think that it should be, because, I mean, the severity of it is very serious. And so I think a lot of times it's because a lot of people might start off with like a recreational drug. And it's something that people might just, you know, consider something that they do for fun or just something they don't take as serious. And then, you know, sometimes people get more involved and try, you know, different types of drugs. And then sometimes it just becomes normalized. And so I think a lot of people don't look at it as an issue because it's like, oh, that's just something that somebody does. And it's just something that, you know, not that people accept, but they don't, you know, oh, that's just their business. It's just something that they don't really try to get into, I feel like, within the Black community.
What do you think, Ty?
Yeah, I think Jenny hit it pretty much on the head. I think we don't talk about a lot of issues, especially since addiction is kind of related to mental health. I think that since mental health is so taboo, talked about, not as much as it has been like in our history, I think we are definitely destigmatizing mental health a lot in the Black community because we're talking about therapy more and being more open about it. But I think since we don't really discuss mental health, you know, I think addiction, as far as how we discuss it, goes hand in hand with that. And I don't know if people really truly see it as an issue or for a problem or for a disease that it is.
Yeah, I think that especially some people who don't see it as a disease are like, well, I don't understand why you can't just stop. Like, and why you can't just, you know, do you have to go drink? Do you have to, you know, do whatever is your drug of choice, and don't understand like really the science behind it and how you really don't have control over your body or thinking, you know, at that point in time. And so I definitely can agree with that. And I'm glad you brought up mental health too, because mental health and just conditions that we're constantly learning more about and that are constantly being more normalized. Because I know it's not everyone, but a lot of people who have like anxiety or depression or, you know, ADHD or just different conditions will actually start to use substances as a way to cope with symptoms that they haven't been diagnosed for another condition for. And so just even understanding that connection between that and being able to talk about it more openly, I think would help people understand addiction or those conditions even better.
One thing that I just thought about is that I think that a lot of people suffer from addictions, but from the outside, they still look functional. So I think that that's why it's not talked about, is because I think that there's like this misconception of like what somebody dealing with like addictions or substance use disorder should look like. And it's like, you know, if they're not, you know, showing up as like, okay, they're kind of, you know, they look like they're going through something, you know, from the stereotypical look, then a lot of times it's just not addressed. A lot of people are dealing with addictions and substance abuse kind of like in silence. And it's, you know, it's hidden because they still show up, you know, they still might go to work. Mm-hmm. They still may, you know, if they're a mom, if they're a dad or a sister, they still are, you know, playing these roles, but it's something that they still deal with.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely stereotypes when it comes to people. And we see it, especially like in Black movies, like just you have a certain character in mind when you think about someone who is struggling with addiction. And so, you know, if you are still functioning for the most part, not everyone goes through like a public downward spiral that I think we're used to seeing and being able to identify very easily. Sometimes those downward spirals are behind closed doors or, you know, or in private, and you just wouldn't even realize it, whether it's you're struggling with making financial decisions because you have to give money towards this and not even understanding like that is a sign that this is a problem, or just the need to use is a problem within itself. So have you all, and if you want to share, been personally impacted or what have been your experiences with people who have substance use disorders?
Yeah, I would say growing up and even now as an adult, you know, I have family members that they're experiencing, you know, substance abuse disorder. And, you know, it's just a lot of them, it's just kind of been their lives over the years. You know, I've grown up with some of these people and they are, you know, very functional. And to, you know, society's eye, they may not look like they're experiencing this. But I mean, it can be really difficult and impact the people that are around, you know, the individual that is suffering from the addiction, you know, I mean, from, like you have mentioned, like finances, from, you know, being able to, you know, get up and get ready and get, you know, your children ready for school. It's just like, it's kind of like, a downward effect. You know, you're going through these things and it affects everyone that you are connected to.
Yeah, I have had family members or have family members who suffer from substance abuse and even friendships or relationships. I think that with the friendships, it was hard to identify because I think they suffered from alcoholism. And in our 20s, you know, that's a time that we party hard. So I realized that it could be masked very well, you know, in disguise and socializing and stuff like that. And I've had a situation where I tried to confront a loved one about it and they were in denial. And I mean, it wasn't a very hostile situation, but I definitely could tell that they weren't ready to like take the next steps to get out of their addiction. So,
yeah, I have similar experiences with, you know, approaching someone or loved one about something. They're just in denial about it, which is really so unfortunate because it's like no matter like, you know, how much you're willing to help someone, they have to be ready to kind of take that next step within their own healing journey and recovery in order for that to really happen. So it's just like, you know, just knowing that you just have to continue to support this person, despite if they're not ready, because it's only going to take them to make that decision to be able to, you know, decide that that's something that they're ready to recover from.
For sure. And I think it can be a very frustrating situation, especially if you are super close with that person, like Tyra, having been in relationship with guys who have struggled with this before, and them not seeing it like there was anything wrong, or not seeing how it affects their emotion, or not seeing how it affects their behavior, and trying to have conversations like openly, like, hey, like, I'm worried about you, or hey, I don't like when you do this because it makes you mean, or, you know, you're not yourself, or you don't remember what you said. And now, you know, how do I talk to you, you know, about certain things? And that can be frustrating. Or even, you know, having family members who some have been able to go to treatment, they're clean and in recovery now, but others who did not make it because their bodies just over time couldn't handle, you know, what was happening, and just the progression and consistent use. And I remember being very frustrated with my family, because I feel like within Black families, especially if it's something like alcohol, we tend to enable. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, this person should not be drinking, or you know, this person, you know, has a problem that we're not talking about, and you're helping them, like you're providing to them. And it was frustrating as I became more aware and understood that it was a disease and that this person actually needed medical attention. It was frustrating for me to even be around it, but also not being mad at him. Like, I knew it was something that he just legit couldn't control, and I didn't feel like he understood or knew the resources that were available to him. And I think he had just gotten to a point where it was just too late. And so, you know, because I had even reached out to an interventionist for him, and he's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you're gonna be able to really help in this particular situation. And that can be hard for families to just cope with too, because it is up to them at the end of the day. Are there other ways? Like, that's what I think of when I think of just how I've tried to support people, whether it was sending them like, hey, I've heard of this place, or like I said, I tried to reach out to that interventionist for my loved one, or even just trying to have open conversations about it with somebody where I noticed something. Are there other ways y'all can think of where you supported someone or tried to?
Probably in boundary setting, because you can have a conversation, but it's like, okay, I can't socialize with you in this manner. I can't go to you to this function or drink with you or, you know, hang out with you in this manner because I know really what you're suffering from or what you may be masking from, and I can't support it. And so I don't know if, you know, setting those boundaries open that person's eyes, but it is also a way to keep myself from trying to enable them or do any more damage to what it is that they're suffering from. I've never really sent anyone any like support places, but you know, also try to be open-minded, because as I get older, you know, learning more that it is more of a disease instead of looking down on people who have substance abuse issues and looking at more as like it can be a medical condition as well. I used to work on a floor, we got alcohol withdrawal, lots of those patients, so seeing that and dealing with some of their like social issues really opened my mind as well. And because, you know, people with addictions don't always look the same, so I think that opened my mind as well. When you hear people who suffer from alcoholism that they're aggressive or, you know, issues like that. And I know someone in my family who suffers from it, and they aren't aggressive at all. So, you know, it's been great to be able to open my eyes as I gotten older. And hopefully I'll be able to support more people who are in my life who suffer from these conditions.
I think for me, the biggest thing that I've tried to do is just, be an emotional support. Because oftentimes knowing the specific individuals that I'm thinking about, I mean, and this may be the case for, you know, most people who do suffer from it, is that they may feel like they're, you know, living life alone. And so truly letting them know that, you know, I'm here as a support, and that, you know, regardless of, you know, where you've been or what you're experiencing, that you have people here that we're willing to, you know, go with you on whatever journey that, you know, they need to take in order for them to become healed and, you know, get through recovery. So just really being a support, because it shows up differently in different people. And there's so many reasons why people, you know, are dealing or suffering from the disease. So really just being a support, whether it's like childhood trauma or, you know, things that, arise in adulthood. So there's so many reasons why, you know, people start and continue and, you know, may not ever really get out of it. So really trying to comfort them and just, you know, just be there as a support.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. And like you said, even just understanding some of this is hereditary, you know, some come from recreational use, like we already talked about. And then some literally start just from having a prescription, like having a pain medication that's prescribed to you and you do not know how to wean off. And it just becomes a part of like your daily function. And so that the addiction can start in so many different places. And I think as we continue to have the conversations, whether it's just as a community or with people that we're connected to who we know may be going through that, just remembering that not to have judgment, because you don't know like where it started from or where it stemmed from, and just trying to be supportive.
I was just thinking about something like we had talked about, you know, like when you look at what substance abuse looks like in, you know, movies or the things that you see, I think we also have to consider what does society say about actually getting help? What does that look like? Because a lot of time in movies, like you know, you have someone that may be of a higher class and they have money and they go through, they go through like some type of like intervention or program, and then, you know, they come out and they're in their same environment. But you have a lot of people who may go through or experience this, and then they, let's just say they do get help and go through recovery, they may be going back to the same environment that kind of caused the issue to begin with. And so really, you know, thinking about you know, in what ways does, you know, their entire life kind of has to shift and change in order for them to sustain their recovery. And so it's just really a lot of factors at play. But I think it's just really interesting just thinking about, you know, some of the misperceptions or conceptions about, well, what does it look like? You know, a lot of people may think that they can't afford it, or, you know, that they're not, you know, of a certain stature that they can go through some type of recovery or intervention program. So I feel like, you know, there may be some people who actually want to get help, but they just don't have the information. They don't have the knowledge to really know what it's going to take for them to get the help. So they just, you know, kind of continue going on in their current state. And, you know, it's kind of, it just becomes like a cycle.
Definitely. And that's a good call out too, Jenny, because I think a lot of people, when they think about addiction treatment, they do think like out of pocket, and I'm going to have to go pay for this program, or depending on the type of program you need, whether it's inpatient, outpatient, residential, like those can be costly. But there are different opportunities for people to be able to cover those, especially depending on what you look at. I know that some people have access, especially in Indiana, have access to treatment through Medicaid. So even just understanding those dynamics and being willing to look into it also, but having someone there with you who can support you when you're looking into that, and just finding the resources and figuring out like how you can make it happen once you're ready for that step, is super, super important.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Well, any other thoughts or things you ladies want to bring up before we wrap up the conversation today? Cool. So I know that like coming out of like summertime, we're about to head into the holidays. Holidays can actually be a very triggering season for people who struggle from substance use disorder. And even sometimes just being around family or preparing to be around family can be very triggering too. And so just be on the lookout for signs. If you don't know the signs and the symptoms, definitely take some time and look into it. I think that's what we really want to share, especially not just for this month, although this is National Recovery Awareness Month. Definitely want to take these thoughts in today's and months ahead, because it's not like this is the only time that we should be thinking about this or that we should be trying to advocate for less stigmatized conversations around addiction, around alcoholism, around treatment, and just really helping people understand that all in all, you know, substance use disorder or addiction is a disease. We want people to understand that, you know, treatment is available and that resources are available, but also that recovery is possible and that you can gain a new life, or, you know, better relationships or just better circumstances once you overcome and really go through that journey. But that recovery is an ongoing journey too. It's not like once you're clean for a month, once you're clean for a year, you know, it's ongoing. It's gonna be an ongoing journey when you're connecting with groups and going to events or just building your community around that lifestyle. Is really important because it'll be lifelong and it'll be a lifelong journey. But I think we all believe that it's worth it, really in the end. And so as we shared at the beginning, if you want to learn more about Know the Facts, definitely visit knowthefactsindiana.org. They have so many stories of other Hoosiers who are in recovery, who are sharing their stories so that they can really advocate and help people understand and help reduce the stigma around substance use disorder on their website. They also have a quiz that you can take to actually test your knowledge. So if you're just wanting to be a community supporter and a community advocate, you can look into that as well. They also have a Facebook and an Instagram at KnowTheFactsIndiana. So be sure to check that out. Again, not just for this month, but for any time moving forward. So we're happy we could chat about this here at Shenanigans, because of course our community is important to us, and we want to make sure that our community is getting the support that they need. So happy that we could chat about this today, and hopefully it helped you all start conversations on your own within your communities too. But we'll be back soon with our next season of Shenanigans. So if you haven't already, make sure that you're following us at Shenanigans_pod. And if you haven't already checked out our new website at thestrengthofshe.com, there's a beautiful podcast section that where you can access all of our past episodes. But we will be back soon. We love you much, and thank you for listening.
All right, bye.
Bye.